And Wade Gershon back with you on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Joined today by Matt Walters from the K-State Sports Network to break down K-State athletics. Matt, how you doing today, man?
Hey, doing great, Wade. Great to be a part of the show. Hope life is good out in the Glen Elder and Beloit area.
It's been pretty good. It would be even better if some of the college football teams that many people follow in this area would put something together late in the season. It's probably certainly too late for KU, and they hope they just get a win. K-State still hanging on to a thread of being bowl eligible. I know there's some Husker fans in our area are kind of hoping the same thing, that if they could beat Iowa, then they'd be bowl eligible. But it's certainly been a down year for a lot of those major teams that fans are a fan of, K-State, KU, even Missouri, even Nebraska. It's been a tough year, hasn't it?
Well, here in the Midwest, when you talk about those schools you mentioned, it sure has. And, you know, for K-State, it's been an odd year in that they've been good enough to stick with, you know, the TCUs, the Baylors of the world, you know, some of the best teams on their schedule, but they just haven't quite been good enough to win those ball games. And, you know, again, when you add in all the injuries and everything else that has taken place, that's part of what has led to, you know, just a 3-win season right now and a 6-game losing streak for Bill Snyder's squad.
It really seems to have been a roller coaster year for Kansas State. And it goes back to the very first offensive play from scrimmage. You mentioned the injuries. You lose your starter, and then you bring in Joe Huebner, who's been good at times, not so good at other times. And yet, Kansas State, I think there's been certainly times during the season where they could just go ahead and pack up the tent, go home, and say, ah, it's not our day. And yet I look at a lot of these games, especially recently against Baylor, against Texas Tech, where I think a lot of programs, a lot of teams, maybe it would have gotten out of hand. Instead, K-State battled back and, in fact, had a chance to tie the game against Baylor.
Yeah, and I would say that last week, and again, this is my perception, last week was the first week where you really saw, you know, that deer in the headlight look, that, uh-oh, here we go again. And maybe the energy level and the effort level dipped a little bit. But K-State has been, you know, fighting back all year long. Now, while that is a big positive, the negative is K-State's been playing from behind way too much. I mean, they're giving up touchdown after touchdown on opening drives, and that's difficult to deal with. And, you know, Texas Tech scored so quickly last week down in Lubbock that, you know, you saw that brew back up. And, you know, to K-State's credit, they were down 28-7. You know, I'm sure a lot of people were thinking this is going to wind up being a 52-14 type ball game. But, you know, at that point, you know, I thought Texas Tech got a little comfortable, a little complacent, and, you know, relaxed and thought, oh, we've got this in the bag. And then here came K-State. You know, this Saturday, tomorrow against Iowa State, this is a matchup of two pretty even teams. Iowa State, you know, they've had a little more success in the Big 12 than K-State has. They shut out Texas. They very easily could have beaten Oklahoma State last week. And we know the weather's going to be as cold as it has been since last winter time. So tomorrow's going to be interesting. Both teams really want to win, really need to win. I think, to be honest, K-State needs it a little bit more. They can win the last three ball games, but they're not going to if they don't have good things happen tomorrow.
It's amazing to me how things can change week in and week out, and it's always fun to read, or I don't know if it's fun, it's sometimes stressful, but to read what fans have to say about their team after a win or after a loss or during a winning streak and during a losing streak. And of course, Kansas State in the midst of a 6-game losing streak, 0-6 in conference play. And despite being 3-6, Matt, you look at their schedule on the back end, it's definitely all three games very winnable. Iowa State at home tomorrow, as you mentioned. Kansas on the road in Lawrence. Most people would expect that to be a W, although you can't guarantee it. And then if you win those next two games, I know that's an if, then you get West Virginia at home, and that's a game where basically you win and you keep your season alive. You're bowl eligible at 6-6. There's a lot to salvage yet in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can even go back a week, and K-State had a great opportunity because Texas Tech's defense was not good. But, again, since the Cats dug themselves such a deep crater early on, they're not able to come from behind and win that ball game. So now you're down to your last three. The pressure's on. The kids know it. You know, they've been grinding. They want to win more than anybody else, and they know what's in front of them. But they know that the clock is ticking. And tomorrow, to me, it's all about the start for Kansas State because they've not been very good offensively slash defensively early on, whether it's to begin the ball game or in the third quarter. But tomorrow, that's imperative. I think Iowa State's going to come in here fired up, jacked up, ready to go. K-State got out of Ames last year by the skin of its teeth. This is a football team that changed quarterbacks not long ago, and they let Mark Mangino go when Paul Rhodes did. It's when Iowa State started to, kick things into a next year. So I think K-State's got to match its opponent in terms of intensity. Again, I'm not sure we're going to have a full house here in Manhattan tomorrow, and that could, bug the kids a little bit. So they're going to have to dig deep without a doubt and play as energetically as they have of late.
Matt Walters with us from the K-State Sports Network. You hear him on the sidelines on the network coming up tomorrow as K-State hosts Iowa State at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan. You mentioned maybe not a full house tomorrow. There's certainly been some criticism, and maybe it's fair, maybe it's not. I'll leave that up to you to give us your opinion on it. The fan base, when you're winning, people are going to support you. I mean, it's just the way it is.
That's right.
And when you struggle and you lose, you're not going to have as much support. And you could argue that when you're 0-4, or if you lost six in a row or something like that, the team and the players and the coaching staff need the fans more than ever than when you're 12-0. But that's just human nature. Now, recently, Kansas State had the game against Baylor, and of course they had one recently prime time as well against TCU. And I know there are some folks in our area that maybe they were legitimate excuses. There's others that were absolutely forthright with me and said, I just don't think we have a chance of winning, so I'm just not going to go. And I don't know what people think of those types of fans. Having said all of that, has it been what you expected in regards to the fan support and the seats that have been empty or the students leaving early? Or are you a little bit surprised at how quickly maybe people have left the building?
Well, I would say in the second half is where I've been surprised. Now, the Oklahoma game was an anomaly, and I'll bend and I'll cut some people some slack for that, but in the Baylor game, again, I was a little surprised how early some folks left. But fans are paying for the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They can do what they want. I would say, hey, remember how you felt in Bill Snyder's last 2 years. For the fans that are older than that, remember what it was like before Bill Snyder even got here. So much has changed, Wade, here in the last 25 years in Manhattan and in this part of the country. You can say Manhattan would not be what it is today if it weren't for K-State football.
Mm-hmm.
It has meant so much, and Bill Snyder has meant so much. But, fans are going to be fans. I don't concern myself a whole bunch with what they're going to do. You'd like to see them stick it out. They're not used to losing here. I never hope to call the K-State fan base spoiled by any stretch, because I've seen plenty of spoiled fan bases over the years. But, we'll see. They're paying the money. If they want to get up and walk out, that's up to them. But you don't like seeing it, and I know the kids and the coaches don't like seeing it. And, somebody else will follow up and say, put the product out there that's going to keep us in the stadium, and that's why Bill Snyder gets paid and why the coaches get paid and why the kids bust their tail. They want to keep the fans there without a doubt. So I hope tomorrow the fans can brave the elements. I know it's an early ball game, but there's only two more home games. And, the kids and the seniors, obviously, even though they've got one more game here in Manhattan, they deserve to have as many folks in the stands as possible.
When you have a losing streak, no matter what sport it is, one of the first things that gets questioned is, of course, the hierarchy, and it would normally start with the head coach. In regards to, with the baseball manager, substitutions, doing this, doing that, strategy. For football, a lot of times the first thing that fans will talk about is play calling, and I'm sure you've heard some of this as well, and one game in particular stands out to me is the TCU game, where K-State seemed to get away from the game plan there for a while when it was working so well. How do you respond to folks that say, well, and I'm sure you've heard it on the call-in shows, well, we need to do this differently on defense, and we got to call these plays, and why are we running it, and why are we doing the silly Wildcat formation, this and that? How do you look at the play calling this year by Kansas State?
Well, there have been times where you scratch your head. I mean, every fan does, whether you're watching K-State, Oklahoma, or watching an NFL team on Sunday. There have been a few times where I figured that K-State would be running the ball but they're throwing it. And Bill Snyder, as you've heard him say, wait, a million times, he wants a balanced offense. K-State is not just going to run it straight time, and K-State shouldn't just run it straight time. But there have been some opportunities where K-State threw it instead of running it, which, you know, that leaves you puzzled. K-State does not have a Samaje Perine. They don't have an Aaron Green. They don't have a Shaq Linwood. You know, Charles Jones is what he is. He's not the fastest. He's not the most athletic running back in the Big 12, but he's gotten better here in the last 3 weeks. Justin, someone we've not seen a lot of lately, he's faster than Jones, but it has been puzzling at times. You know, I also look at the fact that K-State across the board offensively does not have a home run hitter. They don't have a Tyler Lockett. They don't have, you know, some of the caliber players that they've had here in the last 5 to 10 years. This is a team that really does need to be balanced. They can't just win a game throwing it. They can't just win a game running it. They've got to do both to the best of their ability. And, you know, when you have a team whose margin for error is as small as it is for this team, you've got to be good on both fronts. K-State's going to keep throwing the ball here in the next 3 weeks, starting tomorrow. They're going to run the ball, but they're not good enough either direction to just go that direction on a Saturday. I think we've seen that over the years, but, you know, it has been a little confounding at times, but, hey, Dana Dimel and Del Miller know a heck of a lot more about calling plays than I do. It's tough, and when you have, again, the injuries that K-State has had and your depth has been challenged a little bit, and you don't have those, you know, those upper-level players, it can be a little difficult, and it has been difficult for K-State this year. And I know plenty of fans, and trust me, I feel it. I can understand why they've been frustrated.
How much input does Coach Snyder have with the play calling and what K-State does, especially like early in a game?
He has plenty of input, Wade. I don't think, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong on this, I don't think he does a lot of overruling, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. He's right. Listening to everything. I'm sure he puts in his 2 cents or 10 cents when he feels necessary, but I don't know that there's a case of, no, we're not going to run play A, we're going to run play B. I don't think a lot of that goes on, but, I mean, he's Bill Snyder. He's got input, and he'll give input when he wants to, but I haven't seen it. I don't get the feeling there's been a lot of that over the course of this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. It seems that way when you're watching or listening to you guys on the radio. That's what I gather as well. Matt Walters, K-State Sports Network, with us this morning here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. I said the other day on the air when we were talking about Kansas State in their last three games, and I must be one of the more optimistic people right now for the folks I hang out with, and even Dusty over here, that he's not feeling what I'm feeling, and that is, I think if Kansas, and that might be a good thing, I think if Kansas State wins tomorrow against Iowa State, which I expect them to win tomorrow, and in fact, I went as far to say that I think K-State's going to win their last three games. They're going to be bowl eligible, and granted, a 6-6 record will not get you a huge bowl, and you will probably play another team that's, you know, an average record, 6-6, 7-5, and you have a very legitimate chance to end the season 7-6 with a winning record. And if you would have told K-State fans before the season that you go 7-6 and you'd be in a bowl game, I think a lot of K-State fans would have at least been okay with that. Am I dreaming here? Am I being too optimistic? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that at the beginning of the year, you know, I thought 6-6 or 7-5. Just by looking at what's on paper, knowing what's coming back, I thought one of those two records would be the case here in 2015. 7-5 sounds infinitely better than 6-6. Mm-hmm. And right now, dealing with what K-State has dealt with all year, I think a bowl game would be a heck of a reward. But they've got to go out and earn it. You know, they're not going to be in the Final Four. They're not going to be playing on New Year's Day out in Pasadena, anything like that. But I think about all the seniors on this team, especially the seniors on the offensive line. and on the defensive side of the football, for that matter, a guy like Will Davis, you hate to end your collegiate career the way K-State has watched this season go. So, you know, if they can pick themselves up by the bootstraps, I think this team can win the final three games. It's not going to be easy. And, again, to me, the margin for error for this team is really small. They're going to have to play darn good football tomorrow against Iowa State, you know, against Kansas next week, and then against West Virginia. Who knows what mood those teams are going to be in, because none of those other teams have really had a very good season. So, you know, it's a Bill Snyder team. He preaches consistency. For the most part, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say K-State's consistency in terms of attitude and energy has been a 9. It's got to stay that way if they are to win the next three and get to 6-6 and get to what would be considered an average bowl game. It would still be a plus. You get the extra practices. The young guys need that. But it's up, ultimately, Wade, it's up to the players to perform, and that, again, starts tomorrow.
Yep, Iowa State comes to town against Kansas State, 11 a.m. kick tomorrow on the K-State Sports Network. Matt Walters will be on the sideline with that one. Let's turn our attention to the football playoff. You mentioned K-State won't be in the Final Four. If you're on the committee right now, or I guess just your opinion, who are the four teams? Who are the top four teams? And in what order would you put those in right now for the playoff?
Clemson is in there, obviously, and most likely at number one.
Okay.
Alabama's number two. I think those two are neck and neck right now. And since Alabama lost to Ole Miss, they have just been thumping the daylights out of people. I have an issue with Ohio State because of their schedule. I have an issue with Notre Dame because of its schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I would likely lean to having Ohio State in the top four, and I would say Oklahoma State, because Oklahoma State is unbeaten right now. The loss for Oklahoma to Texas is huge and is critical right now. They are playing as well as anybody in college football. There's a part of me that wants to put OU in the top four, but they're going to have to win out, and they may need a little bit of help. And I'm surprised way that Oklahoma State's still unbeaten. I thought their defense would catch up to them at some point and not be able to hold the fort. And you know what? Maybe you've seen this, maybe you haven't. They're saying that tomorrow Oklahoma State may not have to face Stidham from Baylor, so Baylor may be with a third-string quarterback tomorrow down in Stillwater. So who knows? But because Oklahoma State has held up its end of the bargain, I would put them in the top four right now. I would put Notre Dame out. I just don't think they've done anything. The loss by Stanford last week doesn't help Notre Dame right now. No, they're probably the best team the Irish have fielded in a while, but I'm just not sold on Notre Dame being in the top four. It has to do with the color of the helmet and the name. That's why they're in the top four.
It's interesting, the narrative, because last year at this time, the defending national champion was getting almost crucified, even though they were undefeated, had a long winning streak, because they hadn't played anybody, and there was arguments that they shouldn't even be in the top four. Ohio State, you could look at their schedule, and it's supposed to be the body of work, not what they're going to do. Ohio State's schedule, you could easily say, is just as bad as Florida State's or worse at this point in the season than last year, yet we're not hearing that narrative. Why is that?
Because the name on the jersey.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. I agree. I figured we would be on the same wavelength on that one,
yes.
No doubt. All right, let's turn our attention to college basketball. The K-State men off to a 2-0 start, and they're back in action tonight. In fact, at Bramlage Coliseum against South Dakota. Certainly, Coach Weber, clean house after last season for the most part. And, of course, we're following K-State even closer than ever before with the men's basketball team, because Austin Budke from Beloit, a walk-on and on the team and getting significant minutes. I know it's early, but what's your impression of the K-State men's basketball team?
Yeah, the only regret that I have for Austin is that he didn't get any good coaching when he was in high school.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And he somehow exceeded expectations, even though he had to overcome that. You're right.
Yeah, he's been able to climb that hurdle and get over it. I like what I've seen the first couple of ball games. This is a team that's got some talent, it's got some upside. It has plenty of work to do, but I like, at least early on, again, we've just, you know, just skimmed the surface. I like what Stephen Hurt has done. I will say I'm a, you know, I'm a fan of Barry Brown at this point. He's not phenomenal. He's not, you know, he's not set the world on fire. But I think this team's, you know, playing together fairly well right now. And, you know, there's a couple of guys on this team we haven't even seen play yet. So K-State's not at full steam, but, you know, we'll see what transpires tonight against South Dakota. It gets ramped up early next week, going down to the CBE in Kansas City. But so far, I'd say after a couple of ball games, things have been positive for the Cats.
What would be considered a good year for K-State men's basketball? What are the expectations? What are the realistic expectations for this team this year?
Middle of the pack finish in the Big 12. You know, they were picked near the bottom. This is a basketball team that, you know, they'd have to stay injury-free and just continue to excel as the year goes along, because the Big 12 is going to be really good. And as is always the case, everything's going to run through Lawrence. Oklahoma's legit. Iowa State's legit. Texas should be better. Oklahoma State, we'll see. This is a very good basketball league. But, you know, again, I'm going to equate something to basketball that I did with football. For the men, I don't think the margin for error is very great. They're going to be a couple of nights, I'm sure, where they're just bad and, you know, they get their doors blown off by 20 or 25. They're also going to surprise some people, I think. You know, I think they've been a pretty good practice team to this point, but there's not a lot of wiggle room for this basketball team at this point. But, again, I've been impressed with Kamau Stokes' ball handling abilities. He hasn't, you know, had a great night shooting yet. Dean Wade was really good against Columbia the other night. He's got to learn to stay out of foul trouble. That's kind of bugged him early on. But this is a team that could, you know, maybe quietly sneak up on some folks this year.
You said middle of the pack in the Big 12, and so immediately I do that great math that I got when I was at Trigger Community High School, and I think fifth. Fourth, well, not really fourth, but fifth or sixth if it's in the middle of a 10-team league. I know that's brilliant. But if they finish fifth, are you saying you think this team could sneak in the NCAA, or are you thinking more like sixth and probably NIT team?
Well, I think the NCAA tournament is a carrot that is dangling way out there right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this team has that capability, but again, if they stay healthy and they avoid a lot of the valleys that some teams experience, they're going to have a couple. I mean, that's a given. But if you're in the top six at the end of the regular season in the Big 12, you're going to have a pretty good shot to get into the NCAA tournament. I mean, if you're 500 mm-hmm. in this league, and I think it's doable, I think it's possible, is a likely good question. But if you're in that neighborhood, you know, if you're under 500, odds are you're not going to get in. But if you're 500 in this league, you know, you're probably going to be around the 20, 21, 22 win department. So it's possible, but for the NCAA tournament to happen, I think a couple of extraordinary things would have to take place.
Turn our attention to the K-State women, and they've got this easy road trip to Storrs, Connecticut to take on the undefeated UConn Huskies. And we've been talking about this in the office. I said, that's going to be a tough trip no matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're one of the best teams, a top 10 team. I mean,
that's Ohio State, who they obliterated the other night.
Exactly. Yeah, just adds to the point. First of all, I guess the question would be for K-State, I mean, I think it's great that they do this, and they, you know, you have a shot. In order to be the best or to get better, you got to play teams that are better, per se. And obviously, K-State will be a huge underdog on the road at UConn on Monday, and then they'll get them coming back to Manhattan in the future. Jeff Mitty, I think he's got everybody going in the right direction. 19 wins a year ago. I'll ask you kind of the same question I asked you of the men, the women. UConn coming up on Monday, they're off to a nice start with a couple of wins early. What are the expectations? Is K-State kind of the same boat as the men, middle of the pack, Big 12, and maybe get on that bubble?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, K-State won 19 last year, like you said a moment ago. I think this team can win more than that this year. I think they can get into the the low 20s in winds. Monday night is going to be Monday night. Nobody is going to expect K-State to win. Can the girls go in there and play basketball and not get overwhelmed, not let their eyes grow to the size of dinner plates? UConn is UConn. They are the best. They've been the best. It doesn't appear that's going to change anytime soon. You're going to learn early season lessons. I mean, on the men's side, look how many top 25 teams, how many Power 5 schools have been upset already in the first week and a half of the season. For Kansas State, just go play the ball game. They're going to get taught some lessons. They're going to understand where they've got to get better. UConn's going to make that abundantly clear. But I think it's cool, and I hope as many fans as possible come next year when UConn comes to town, because that's going to be a real treat. I've had the fortune of watching K-State and UConn play before, and when you're playing the very best, people show up, and UConn is the very best. So, roll the dice, go see what happens. Last time K-State and UConn played, obviously it was not close, but I like the way this team's playing. They've got a little more length. You saw them down at Tulsa, obviously, and appreciate you filling in that ball game. But this team's got some positives, and their defense is going to cause some problems for people this year. And I think they may be a little bit better offensively than they were a year ago. And that's going to be key, because last year was just a real struggle to score for the K-State women.
Matt Walters, K-State Sports Network, with us today on the Sports Ticket. Time for our off-the-wall question, Matt.
Bring it.
The most interesting coach you have ever dealt with at any level?
Well, Bill Snyder's been interesting. Part of it depends on how you define interesting.
I thought you were going to say Ryan Eilert. I thought you would say that. I thought that was going to be easy. No, he's not. He's not interesting.
He'd be in the bottom half.
Oh, okay. All right.
Head coach of the Beloit Trojans would be in the bottom half of that cup.
Okay. All right.
I would probably, having you just drop that on me, most interesting I would probably have to say would be Bob Huggins.
Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You got a clean story of Huggins you want to share to end the interview?
Well, I will clean it up. How's that?
That would be great. Yes.
K-State's playing at North Dakota State up in Fargo in his first year, his only year here. And we get to Fargo and we go to their gym, which was kind of like a glorified MIAA gym, like a Division II school. Mm-hmm. Nice, but Division I teams aren't used to playing in that kind of gym. Well, North Dakota State had a player by the name of, I think I've got it right, Ben Whiteside. Kid was about 6'5", could fill it up. He gave it to K-State that night, and the Cavs got out of there. But anyway, when we got there on Friday, we went to shoot around at the gym, and I was sitting next to Wyatt Thompson, and Huggs came walking towards us, and we were kicking around some things. He was telling us a little bit about North Dakota, and I said, "Huggs, when was the last time that you came to Fargo, North Dakota?" And he looked at me and had one of those grins on his face and said, "This is the first blank time, and this will be the last time." So that's one of the best stories from Bob Huggins.
That sounds good. That sounds good. We had Coach Eilert from, not Ryan Eilert, but Coach Eilert from West Virginia, who was on with us last year, and he was sharing a story about when Frank Martin, Bob Huggins were in the car with Jason Bennett and happened to be coming through Topeka and had to make a stop at Club Orleans. So that was I'll have to share that with you sometime, but that was kind of interesting. He did share it on the air, and he too cleaned up the story like you had to there. So there is a common thread, no doubt. Hey, man, we always appreciate the time to talk K-State Athletics with us on the Sports Ticket. Have a great time tomorrow, and bring the Cats home a win. And like I said, bring back one of three in a row to make them bowl eligible. We thank you for your time. Look forward to catching the game tomorrow, man.
Hey, anytime. I'd get to talk to you, and happy holidays to you and your family and everybody out of North Central Kansas. Safe travels, and we'll play some football tomorrow, some basketball tonight, and we'll see what happens, but it's good to hook up with you.
Sounds good. Happy holidays to you as well and your family. Matt Walters of the K-State Sports Network, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.